right. I got to make a donation to this offering plate here. It's you, Brother Bert, you said it's a penny a year, right?
A penny a year.
A penny a year. All I got's a dollar, but there really wouldn't be much change anyhow. But I'll put it in there. My wife did not come down this morning. Well, we got you this week. We'll get you again next week. Well, there would be very little change out of that anyways. So we're good. You're not allowed to make change in the offering plate, so you know. Amen. And
no luck for you.
I was eating out anyways. Okay, Shirley Lohman turns in a prayer request for, I believe, is that Debbie Helms? She's in rehab, and she's had a car accident a month ago, going back to the hospital for more surgery tomorrow, Monday. Okay, so she was in an accident. She's in Alabama, is that correct? Yeah? Okay. Anyhow, be in prayer for her. Amen. All right, open your Bibles to the book of Jonah. We talked a little bit about that last week. And basically trying to prep ourselves. You know, I asked you a question last week. I asked you what comes to your mind when you think of the book of Jonah. And the biggest response was whale. And that's pretty much a normal response, because us being good, hard Bible readers and studiers the way we are, the first thing that comes to our mind is Jonah and the whale, because that's what we learn as a child, amen? And so we very rarely go in depth and study into the books of the Bible. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. We don't put study time in as we should. Now, there's some of us in here, or some of you in here, that do a lot of Bible reading and a lot of study, but the majority of us are a little lax. You know, we just kind of take it for what it is. We'll get what the preacher tells us on Sunday morning, and we'll carry that with us. And folks, let me say something to you about that. I mean, bless God, I'm glad you're here this morning, and you know, prayerfully you'll learn something. But that's not the way we ought to be. We ought to get into God's Word and let God speak to us. I mean, there's so many false churches today. There's so many churches that's not teaching the gospel. They're not teaching the truth. They're teaching every way the wind blows of the doctrine. That's what they're teaching, whatever suits them today. And so when we do that and we go into a church and we just sit there and we just listen to whatever's being told, how do you know for sure that what you're being told is true? I mean, how do you know that that's factual? How do you know it's truth? How do you know it's true doctrine? Unless you get into the Word and read it and study it for yourself. So you're just taking, well, he's a good preacher. Well, that don't make him right. I mean, there's a lot of wolves out here in sheep's clothing. So we need to be into the Bible ourselves. And I'll tell you right now, the book of Jonah is a beautiful book. It's a short book. If you want to study a book that's short because you want to get through quickly, that's a good book to start with. It's only four chapters, and I think it's 48 verses total amongst all four chapters. So it's something that you can read through fairly quick, but it's a lot. It's really loaded. There's a lot to learn in the book of Jonah. I mean, there's like, I think it's like seven miracles that was performed in the book of Jonah. And it represents, it's a good picture of us, of ourself. If we would read Jonah, just like last week, everything we talked about last week, I was trying to prepare your mind a little bit for what we're going to look at in Jonah, with all the attributes of Jonah. And like I said, when I think of Jonah, I think of running, because that's what Jonah was. He was a runner. He was a man of God, but even being a man of God, he was running from God. And there's so many of us that we do the same thing today, and there's no age limit to that. It doesn't matter whether you're 18 or whether you're 98. You can still be running from God if God is calling you to do something in his ministry, whatever it may be. If it's sweeping the floor. But if God is calling you to that and you're running from that, then you're just like Jonah. You know, you're sinning against God to start with, and you're not obeying, you're not being obedient, and it brings storms into your life. And that's what we're going to see about Jonah. And every time, every you know, as we move through each verse and we see how this story portrays itself, we can put ourselves in Jonah's place. Because each and every one of us at one time or another in our life have done the exact same thing. We have run from God. And the amazing thing is the fact that we think we can do that. You know, and it brings on huge storms sometimes. And if there's a storm in your life today, if there's something going on, are you running from God? Is that bringing on that storm? And another thing we spoke about last week is that how we, I remember as a teenager, young teenager, you know, we would say, and most of us are guilty of this, we would say, well, it's my life. What I do, it doesn't affect you. Well, that's not true. And we'll see that in Jonah. We'll see how his running from God, being disobedient, brought the storm down on other people. And it's the same way in our lives today. When we are disobedient to God, the storm that we're in also brings in other people sometimes. So when there's storms in our lives, hey, you need to look at, hey, who am I hanging around with? You know, am I hanging around with the right people? Or is it me? Am I running from God? And folks, you know whether or not you're running from God.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I give you a little bit of my testimony last week of how I ran from God. It scared me to death when he called me to the ministry. I'm like, you know, who am I to teach God's word to anybody? That's the way I felt inside. And I still feel that way many times. When I got to come in here and prepare to come in here to teach to you, I think of Dr. Carter and Dr. Bradley sitting over here. I told him this morning, I said, I get nervous when you're sitting in there and I got to teach. You know, he's such a man of God. His knowledge is tremendous. You know, and I sometimes I just feel inadequate. Well, that's the sin nature. That's who we are as people. That's the sin nature. That's Satan trying to stop you from being obedient to God. And it doesn't matter what it is. It's not me to start with. It's what I can do through Christ. We spoke about that last week. It's whatever I allow God to do with me. All I have to do is be obedient. And if I'm obedient, God will take care of the rest. He'll handle all the rest of it. But so many of us every day of our lives, we're not being obedient to God. And folks, and that goes a long ways. Let me say something to you. How's your dress? That's being obedient or disobedient to God. The way we show ourselves. The way we present ourselves to the public. Folks, I want people to know that I'm a Christian. I want people to know that I love and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have to present myself that way. And that's not easy. I mean, I'm just like you. You get in a traffic jam and you got these idiots. Oh, my soul. They drive on the left side of the highway at 15 miles an hour. You know what I'm saying? You know, holding up traffic for 25 miles. I lose my patience sometimes. You know, I'm hollering and screaming, why don't they pass the bumper law? What's that? Put the bumper to them. Get them out of the way, you know? But that's not the Christian way to be. So we all have to practice that. But all of these things make up who we are. And it's important that we be obedient to God in every way of our life. The way we dress, the way we present ourselves, the way we speak. Folks, you know, men aren't supposed to have long hair. I seen a guy on television the other day supposed to be preaching the gospel and had hair halfway down his back. You know, I could care less personally, okay? I'm saved by grace. I'm a born-again believer. But that man is in the eyes of the public. And according to scriptures, he's not supposed to be that way. Amen. So what does that say to a lost person? See, we're trying to take the gospel and get it across to lost people. So lost people, remember when you were lost. Remember the day before you got saved. Remember how you would look at somebody who was claimed to be a Christian? And you would tear them down any way that you could. You would hunt for anything bad about every individual you could find. Why was that? That was to lift you up. That was to say, well, they're no better off than I am. Well, actually, we're not. We're not any better off other than the fact we're saved by grace. Amen. I'm going to heaven. That doesn't make me a better person. I'm not better than a lost person. I'm going to be better off because I'm going to heaven. Amen. But all of these things, everything that we do, being obedient or disobedient to God, whether it's the way we're dressing, whether it's the way we're behaving, whether it's what we're doing, maybe we're supposed to be doing something we're not doing. And if you're a born-again believer, I promise you, whether you're 8 or 80, God has something for you to do. So if you're not doing something in the ministry, then you're not being obedient to God. And this is what people will say, well, I'm 88. I can't walk, I can't knock doors, I can't do this, I can't clean, I can't... You can pray. Amen. God's not going to call you to do that which you cannot do. He's going to call you to do what you can do. And that pertains to each and every one of us. So every one of us as believers has got something that we should be doing, or we're just going to be just like Jonah. We're running from the Lord. And folks, let me just say to you, you can't run from God. You can't hide from God. And to even think that, when Jonah decided to flee here, you understand that was idolatry. Because what Jonah did, he took and he limited God. What he's saying is I'm going to flee from the presence of the Lord. And by him thinking that he can get away from God, that's idolatry. That's man putting God in the fashion of a man. Now the man is deciding how big God is. We're not going to run from God. God's bigger than the world. He's bigger than the universe. There's no place to hide. So when we have that mindset, and we're all guilty of that, we think that we're going to do things and get by with it. We're not. God knows exactly what's going on all the time. With that being said, let's look at verse 1, we just read through verse 1. I think we stopped at verse 3 last week, so let's start in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Right here's where he decided, hey, God's not big enough to keep up with me. That's what he's saying. He's going to flee from the Lord. But anyhow, why did God want to run from Nineveh? We touched bases on that a little bit last week. Why did Jonah not want to go to Nineveh? Nineveh was a wicked city. It was a pagan city. They were pagans. And Jonah basically took upon himself, rather than just trusting God with the situation, out of pride. We talked about some of the attributes of Jonah, and pride was one of them. Now what Jonah was doing, Jonah was basically saying, them people don't deserve to be saved. Now folks, we do that ourselves. Now think about that. I'm saved. When I die, I'm going to heaven. Praise God. Amen. So what do? A lot of times we can say, "What? I'm not going out. I'm not knocking doors. Hey, I got mine. I'm not worried about the rest of the world." And that's what we do. When we do that to ourselves, we don't go out soul winning. We're not spreading the gospel. We're just like Jonah. Jonah was fleeing from that because Jonah knew how good God is and God's grace and God's mercy. And he knew that these people could repent. Well, Jonah didn't want that. Jonah looked at these people. Remember we talked about him being a Hebrew. Well, in his state, in his mind, and remember we talked about how Paul, when he was Saul, when he was a Pharisee, you know, that's kind of the mindset that Jonah's got right here. Jonah's thinking that these people don't deserve to be saved. If we look at it in that aspect, none of us deserve to be saved. None of us deserve God's grace, God's goodness. Folks, if you've broken the least of God's commandments, the Bible says we've broken them all. So that person that we're looking at, that we want to tear down, that we think doesn't deserve God's grace, those people are just as bad off as we are. We're no better. If we've ever told one little lie, we're just as guilty as they are. So that's a dangerous situation to put yourself into. We need to just try to look at people for people that's lost and going to hell. And they need Jesus, just like I did. I needed to get saved because I was on my way to hell. So that's the same thing that we do when we don't go soul winning. We keep the gospel to ourselves. We don't hand out a tract. We don't tell anybody about Jesus. Even though we're not fleeing to Tarshish like Jonah did, we're still doing the same thing. We're not spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go to them with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. This is where the storm started. When Jonah decided to run from the presence of God, the storm began to build. Folks, in our lives, it's the same thing. When we turn from God and we start to go the other direction, the storm's going to come. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. I want you to note that's a little g God. Unto his God. And cast forth the wares from were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he laid and was fast asleep. Now what they were doing, folks, the storm had gotten bad. The water was raging. The ship was about to be sunk. So what did they do? They were throwing a cargo off the ship, trying to lighten the ship so it float a little higher. Storm was getting pretty bad. Remember how we was talking about, in my world, what happens to me is my business? Well, Jonah decided to run from God. But as we can see right here, the storm is not just on Jonah. Every man that's in that ship with Jonah is in that same storm. So see, when we run from God and we bring turmoil to ourselves, we also bring it to those around us many times. And that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing the mariners in the ship, that the storm has come upon them. In verse 6 it says, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now I want you to notice that. That's a capital G. That's a big G God. Amen. So they do know the difference between the little gods and the God. Amen. And they said every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. Now back in the Bible day, they were known to cast lots. It's mentioned several times in the Bible. They're basically little polished little stones, and sometimes they have markings on those stones, and they would cast them, and then whoever that mark would fall on, whatever, depending on what they would mark on the stones, whoever that fell upon, that would be the guilty party. Well, some say, well, that's superstitious or whatever. Well, whatever it was, it worked because it fell on Jonah. Amen. So God made it work, okay? So anyhow, it fell upon Jonah. So, and that's these little stones that they're talking about. And I'm sure they had different kinds, and they may have even had some made out of wood. I don't know. But there was many of them at that time. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? So now they want to know everything about Jonah. They want to know why this wickedness has come upon them. They want to find out what's going on. So Jonah answers him in verse 9, and he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. So Jonah here is telling him who his God is. He's the capital G God, the big G God. Verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the man knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Isn't it amazing how these lost people can look at this and distinguish that there's a difference between his God and their gods? And at the same time, and we do the same thing today. The world's doing the same thing right now with this pandemic. They know there's a difference between our God and their God, but they just won't let go. They will not let go and grab a hold to the truth. That's so sad. Because we live in a day and time where it's inexcusable. We live in a time where the gospel is so readily available to you. You can pick up your smartphone and punch in the gospel, and it will tell you who Jesus is and about him and what's going on. It's so sad that we live in a time. But we've seen the same thing here. These people, they knew the difference. Let's see what happens to them. In verse 11, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the seas may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought with it and was tempestuous." In verse 12, "And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Folks, this storm came upon Jonah, and it came upon those that were around Jonah. God sometimes will take bad and make good out of it. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. So many times that we allow these things in our lives, which shouldn't be, but God can turn it around and make something good out of it. Let's look at verse 13. "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish from this man's life, and lay not upon the innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging." Now they done as Jonah told them to do, and the sea fell calm again. Now listen to what happened here in verse 16. "Then the man feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows." Isn't it amazing how these people, being lost as they were, because we know they were pagans, they were worshiping little g gods. Well, when they seen everything that's unfolding here, isn't it amazing how they turned to the Lord and made vows? So sometimes when a storm comes in our life, God will make good out of it. So we need to remember that as well. We need to look at both sides of the story. So when God does what he chooses to make good out of it, he will. People got saved. The same thing right here. These men got saved. Look at verse 17. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Folks, I don't know if it was a whale or a big fish. It was a big fish, the Bible says. But was it a whale or was it not a whale? I don't know. Don't care. I do know this. If God says it was a whale, it was a whale. If it was a big fish, it was a big fish. So I believe God can make any size fish he wants to make. We can't limit God. Here again, that's idolatry, to limit God. We need to let God be God, amen? And just believe his word and then move on from there. Look at chapter 2. We'll start into chapter 2. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." Amen. See, dear folks, he wasn't running. He couldn't hide from God. And he's going to repent here. He's crying out to the Lord. Isn't it amazing how we have to get to the bottom of the bottom before we'll repent to God? Amen. You know, and he's not even down yet all the way to the total bottom, but he's heading there fast. But folks, when we are disobedient to God, especially if we're lost, we're lost in this world. We're being disobedient just by being lost. And a storm is upon us. And we still refuse the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so sad. And as Christians, we don't need to be in the place that Jonah's in right now. We put ourselves there for no need. There's no need for us to put ourselves in the place of Jonah. We have too much information available to us. Too many friends. Too many helps today. And we just want to be rebellious. And I guess that's just the sin nature of man. We want to be rebellious. Folks, we need to get out of those habits. We need to get into good habits. We need to be reading our Bibles. We need to be listening to more preaching. We need to turn on the radios to the right stations. You understand, all of these things brings in wickedness to your lives. Folks, when you go home, think about this. When you go home and turn the television on, most of what's on that television is wicked. The majority of it's wicked. Even the news. So you're feeding this into your mind all day long. You turn the radio on and you listen to the wrong music. You're feeding the garbage into your mind all day long. And then we can't figure out why we can't concentrate on the things of God. Why is it that we can't sit down, take the Lord's book, and read and study and obtain something from that? We put so much filth into our minds every day. And that's the sin nature. And we enjoy it. We can sit down and watch television programs knowing that they're bad. And we still continue to do that. Rather than picking up God's word and putting a little time, investing some time in the Lord. Well, folks, our brain is like a computer. I've said it before. And everything that you put into your brain, that's your computer. That's the information that it obtains. And what do you get out of a computer? Well, if you go home and you got a laptop, the only thing you're going to get out of that laptop is whatever's been programmed into it. And it's the same way with our lives. It's the same way with our brains. The only thing we're going to get out is what's programmed into it. And trust me, it makes a big difference. When you're meditating on the Word of God every day and you're listening to the proper music, you're dressing the right way, that's part of what you do every day. And when you do these things every day, it's easier to stay in contact with God. Our lives just flow better. It's easier to not be rebellious. It's easier to follow the Lord. It's just like these college students that we have around here. Some people want to stay home and take college on the internet or whatever. And if that's what you have to do, that's fine. But trust me, there's a big difference between being in college and being at home doing it. Because of the surroundings and the environment that you've put yourself in. It's a different environment. It's a spiritual environment. And it helps to keep your mind focused on the spiritual things. So the growth is continually, and it's spiritually. Everything's grown towards God. And any time we get away from that, when you turn that TV on, folks, this is what you're doing. You're inviting Satan into your house. You think what you want, but that's what you're doing. You just invited Satan into your life. Look at the wickedness that's on TV. Look at what it promotes. Everything today, it promotes homosexuality, just about every program that's on there, cartoons. I mean, it's sickening. Everything. It promotes wickedness and evilness. You can't even listen to the news. It's wicked. It's all wicked. And radio, the music. Folks, you need to listen to good music. It's soothing to the soul, for one thing. But when you listen to the wrong type of music, it sets the wrong attitude, and we'll find ourselves like Jonah. We'll find ourselves running from God before we even know it. We'll be steadily backpedaling and not even seeing and not understanding the fact that we're running from God. And some of us have been running so long from God, we don't even know that we're running from God. And there's so much turmoil in our lives, and it stays that way all the time. How do you fix it? You got to stop running. Just like Jonah's doing right here, right now. He's in the belly. He's going to be in the belly of this fish right here. The running has stopped now, hasn't it? He's trapped right there. But he's going to repent. And that's going to make the difference. He's going to repent. And he's going to realize that no matter where he's at, God can hear him. Amen. And folks, it doesn't matter where you're at in your life. It doesn't matter how high or how low. God can still hear you. And God's in the same place. He hasn't moved one inch. He's still on the throne. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And what we need to do in our life is to repent and turn back to God. And you say, well, I'm so far down, I don't know that I can. Yes, you can. God can pull you up out of the deepest seas. But you've got to be willing to admit to yourself that you're wrong. You're running from God. You got to stop. You got to change. You need to repent and pray to God and ask God to pull you out of that bondage that you're in. It doesn't matter what it is. God will pull you out of that and raise you up and get you back on high ground where you need to be. But we have to first repent. Jonah here let's read verse 2 again in chapter 2. And said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. and thou heardest my voice. That's as low as you're going to get right there. And God heard him. Folks, when we're in that same situation, if we'll cry out to God and repent, God will hear us. So no matter where you're at today in your life, you need to change that. And folks, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Amen. Have you seen the news? You see Russia's about to invade Ukraine? I don't know. Are they going to? Probably. Does it matter? It's another step towards the Antichrist. Folks, you know, if they invade Ukraine, their economy will collapse. That's another nation falling. And we're not being invaded, but we're falling quick. We're on the same path. And in order to have a global government, you got to have a global economy, don't you? So when you look at all the pieces, everything is falling into place. Everything is falling. And folks, when we can sit back, and this is what we'll do, we'll go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and we're going to do just like Adam did, and we're going to blame God for it, or we're going to blame somebody else for it. Adam blamed God, didn't he? He said, thou woman that thou givest me, and you hadn't given her to me, it wouldn't have been a problem, right? Well, folks, we're doing that today as Christians. We'll sit back and we're blaming the world for what's going on. And the whole time, it's because we're running from God. Where would we be today if our churches had taken a stand during the pandemic? How much better off would the United States be? How much better off would we be if we hadn't been running for God for the last 100 years? I mean, we've been steadily on the decline, steady running from God. We need to do just like Jonah fixing to do right here. We need to turn. We need to cry out to God and repent and get all of our lives back in order where it belongs. And I want you to remember something. If you're running from God, I want you to look around you. This is your family. Amen. This is your church family. And if you're running from God and you've brought a storm into your life, do you think it can involve any of us?
Right.
See, we need to consider this. Think about all these things every day, because everything that we do does matter. Amen? And I'm out of time. My brother, give us the count here. 7:59. We're down a little bit from last week. Amen. All right, we're going to take about a 10-minute break. And we'll come back for the preaching service.